Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, everybody? Once again, you've reached the Kate Thompson Live Show, and this is the 8 o'clock hour in the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm the person that's known as the sun, and we have the one and only, my mom, back in the house.
Absolutely. Hello, everyone.
Would you put that phone to your ear, just like you're talking normal? There you go. All right,
I'm normal. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a good show for you tonight. The ongoing story of the year, of the world, really, the pending impeachment of that person in the White House. Should or should not he not be impeached? Why did Mueller...
Mueller, that's right.
Yeah, why didn't Mueller... Well, Mueller has now come out with his report as of today or today or yesterday.
Well, the report, the actual report already came out about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what Robert Mueller spoke for the first time today...
That's exactly right.
About what he thought and what, you know, saying the report speaks for itself. So that was the big news today was that Robert Mueller, actually the first time people heard from him since he started the investigation. Excuse that, we got some paper crinkling. And
but the real point of this whole thing is the big question is, did Donald Trump abuse the power of the presidency of the United States, period?
Right. That seems to be the question that a lot of people at least a lot of people that are Trump supporters, for some reason, refuse to even look at the evidence. And I understand supporting the person that you support and really going with them all the way. But after a minute, you know, even people you support, you know, you got to open your eyes and kind of be willing to accept or at least listen to the information. And one thing that I'm thinking about is this congressman, Justin Amash, this Republican congressman, mm-hmm. who's the first one that said Trump should pretty much be impeached, had his town hall meeting last night, or night before last, and I didn't really watch it, but I heard that one of the women, even watching the news shows, one of the reporters was saying, one of the women, hearing upon the a lot of the information that the congressman was given, that one of the women said, oh, I didn't know that, and wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes to show you that we have an electorate that refuses to be educated, A, if somebody's not saying what they want to say, on both sides, that happens a lot, and B, or AB, whichever you could switch it to me, I think that that those things that they say are based in racism. But let's go on and bring our co-host. I'm going to bring on Brother Wayne Gilman. He's in the house. Hey, Wayne, how you doing? What's
Good
going
evening.
On?
Good evening. How's everyone?
I'm fine, Wayne. How are you?
I guess so, Kay. I feel a lot better having heard Robert Mueller today. You know, I thought that was a seminal moment in time, and and to be honest with you, I just think that I think what he said was enough. There's probably not really a good reason to even bring him before a congressional panel. You know, just replay that. And you know, if we could get a full accounting of everything that was released in the report, that should just say enough. You know, I mean, there's some things that we need to do to tweak the Constitution and change some of the laws, because I feel that if a sitting president is doing wrong, you know, and it's brought before the electorate, and members of Congress, then he should be removed, whether he's in office or not.
Of course. Mm. Of course.
Or be forced to resign, as Nixon did, to say that you're going to be impeached.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our other co-host, Brother Byron Saunders, get his thoughts, his opening thoughts on that. Brother Byron, how are you doing this evening?
Byron, hello. Are you there? Byron Saunders.
Good evening, Kay. Good evening, Eric. Good evening, Wayne. I just walked in from getting back from the swamp, Washington, D.C., pouring down raining here in New York. And, you know, I've been saying this all along, that the impeachment process is our constitutional right, whether you agree or disagree with the president, when the evidence is on the table like this, you don't have a choice whether you want to play
That's
politics
right.
or not. Because what
mm-hmm.
is at stake is the Constitution, is the rule of law. And when you allow that to be perverted, you're guilty of abetting the crime itself.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I'm going to say it and leave it right there.
I agree with you completely, Byron.
You know, my thing about the Constitution, we all know who wrote the Constitution. We're the original signers of the Constitution, right? And it's a good, I have to admit, I'm one of those people who have not probably, not alone, that have not fully read the Constitution of the United States. But what I do know is that, obviously, initially black people were not considered, well, we were considered three-fifths humans or things like that, right? And all of the signers of that, for the most part, were slave owners. So that being the foundation of the document that we have built our law system, our legal system on in this country, it's flawed, even though they amended the Constitution, you know, the freeing of the slaves. So there's a lot of things in the Constitution that we need to probably amend, like some people are suggesting in terms of what can be done about impeaching a sitting president and things like that. But certainly, as we know that the report itself lays it out, just like the Republican Justin Amash said, you know, even with the redactions of all those pages and the obvious, you know, if you've watched the news today, you saw the contradicting statements by Barr, the AG Barr, and then people were juxtaposing it with intercutting it with what Mueller was saying, when Barr tried to mislead people, basically saying that, you know, Mueller didn't find any evidence of why they should suggest that the president obstructed the law or whatever. So, you know,
beyond that,
yeah,
Trump absolutely abused the power of the presidency,
mm-hmm.
okay? In any way you look at it, he has abused the power, okay? And if a lot of people are still wrestling with that, how do you justify a Trump figure like him in office as the president of the United States of America?
Well, you were going to say, Byron?
I just want to let all three of you know, I have and carry with me at all times a copy of the United States Constitution. I carry it in my briefcase.
Mm.
It is with me at all times. And
is
the
it in case you stopped?
Stopped
while being black?
It stopped while being black. Stop all conversations that engage in ignorant dialogue. Because at the
there
point in time, if we allow ignorant dialogue to continue unabated without anyone correcting the situation, then we're just as guilty as allowing the ignorance to keep being played over and over and over. And at the point at which I grew up in Washington D.C., so my matrix is the Constitution. I didn't grow up in a mill town. I didn't grow up in a town where we had cotton and fields and corn fields like in the Midwest. I didn't grow up in a town where we had auto workers. I grew up in a town that only had the Constitution. And at the point at which I'm really pissed off at a lot of people who espouse thinking that they know the Constitution but have no idea what goes on in Washington, D.C., because they are not interested in knowing how this system is so perverted, how Washington, D.C. is the last plantation in this country.
Sure.
And so we've got to educate. You know, and I have a fiduciary responsibility as a citizen of this country to make sure that the laws and the Constitution are appreciated and understood. Now,
yes.
I take that as a personal, one-on-one, okay?
Absolutely. And you talked about ignorant conversation, though. I kind of chuckle a little bit because ignorant conversation has been taking place in this country since it was founded, you know, and like you said, these people who always want to talk about the Constitution, they don't really know it, They don't really know what they're talking about. But even if they do, it's my belief that they're just going to do what they want to do. We see what they do. They're going to say they're going to do. They're going. Their position is, do as I say, not as I do. And they're going to break the laws of the Constitution, as we have seen by this guy standing there. Like just recently, I put on the description of our show. Once again, he sided with another dictator against a fellow American when he was in Japan, talking about what Kim Jong-un said against Joe Biden. And so we're talking about people who don't care. They don't even live up to they don't have the integrity to live up to the words that they claim that they're living up to. And I guess that's the indication of a straight criminal who says, yeah, I'm going to follow the law, then turns around and does what he likes to do. So I understand that, and I'm with you on that. And as African Americans, you know, we need to know the Constitution and the laws in and out. And all you have to do is go on Facebook or YouTube, and you see all these people that have brushed up on their legalese. Every time they get stopped by the police, I think some of them are taking a little bit too far trying to engage the police when they get stopped. But, you know, we got a lot of people who are, you know, who are more aware of that. But we just have to get people that are going to follow the rule of law, right?
But, you know, the bottom line is Trump has abused the power of the presidency,
mm-hmm.
okay, of the United States.
Absolutely.
And we are all in it, okay? So he is an abusive person.
Right.
Let's get him out of office. Simple as that. But it's not so simple of him getting out of office. So therefore, we all have to become informed. We have to vote and vote that little
right.
out of office as soon as humanly possible.
Right.
Period.
I was just going to say that one of the things I said last week, and we had a really great conversation about, was the process of impeachment, not just for a president, for judges,
mm-hmm.
for appointees,
mm-hmm.
because it is the law. We have that
mm-hmm.
authority to impeach Bob Barr, who lied before Congress. Jerry Adler said it today. The attorney general lied before Congress, which is
mm-hmm.
an impeachable offense. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's at the point at which, if we're going to clean house, don't just stop at the office of the chief executive. Clean house entirely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that, and I want to get Wayne in here, but I just want to say, but that requires or is contingent upon having people who aren't down with the conspiracy. You know, they're throwing out coup. You heard Liz Cheney, the daughter of not Darth Vader, because Darth Vader was too cool. The daughter of Emperor Palpatine, as I like to call Dick Cheney. If anybody who's a Star Wars fan, you know, and Emperor Palpatine was that evil, decrepit-looking dude with the hood on. Cheney wasn't cool enough to be Darth Vader. He was Emperor Palpatine. But anyway, so his daughter, was the one who was trying to say it was a silent coup because the people decided to investigate Donald Trump. And she said that on one of the networks, probably Fox, of course, the other day, that it was some sort of coup because people were investigating these wrongdoings. And so that's why I'm saying you have to weed out the people who are actually part of this conspiracy, as you talked about several times, Byron. And Wayne, I want to know what you think about that.
I obviously, I concur with what's going on. You know, I think there's so many different variables in this equation here that need to be addressed because, yes, we have all these weapons in which we can attack, you know, the person in question, but the problem is it's the system and the gridlock that goes along with it. You know, I don't think we need a preponderance of presidential candidates if Congress remains lopsided, even with the recent leveling of the playing field in last election. I feel that, you know, Mueller was very clear today when he said that basically without saying it verbatim, but the onus is on Congress to straighten out this mess. He didn't politicize anything with respect, and this is what I find so cogent and admirable about him. He's not into the political aspect of this. He did his job. He said even if he were to appear before a congressional panel, his words would not change. So why even go there? You know, The onus should be on the American people. He gave a warning that this happened in 2016. You know, he started off with what the Russians did. And he said that we're vulnerable of repeating history again if we don't take action. So the problem is with the American people. We have people who are in a vacuum. We have people who feel and think a certain way because of one network's decision to promote a certain agenda. And you have people who are in our own community, as we had a couple of weeks ago, and I wish you had pulled out your constitutional book then, Byron, because the brother from Philly, I can't think of his name. You know, there were a whole host of instances in which, you know, that people like him, you know, need to be called upon and brought
out because I think this is where
the confusion lies.
Also, you guys, listen, it's a very simple matter of the obstruction of justice, okay? A president can't do that.
Right.
Shouldn't be able to be allowed to do that. He should not have the relationship with Russia. He should not have the relationship with China. He has abused the presidency of the United States, okay? And Donald Trump alone
right.
is powerful.
And to pick up...
And that's really, you know, that's stupid.
Well, you have to, it's like Wayne was saying, it's on the people. However, you know, you got to educate the people, and like I was saying earlier, you got to have people that are willing to be open. And I've been having discussions with a friend of mine on how we could reach the black community, and we're putting some projects together. He wants to get involved in doing some things. And we're talking about the best way to prepare people, prepare the soil, so to speak, of people to then receive the message, the seed, or whatever. And you have to have people that are open to hear the message. I mean, you know, we know that he has we talk about the American people getting involved in. We need to expand the electorate, you know. There were 120 million people approximately, give or take another 5 or 10 million, that participated in that election, right? Trump got 63 million, Hillary got 65 million. There's 300 and some odd million people in the United States, so that means roughly half, a little bit more than half of the American population did not participate in that presidential election. And so I was watching a sister on Morning Joe this morning, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, Alicia Garza, who has the op-ed in the New York Times today about how to reach the black community. I'm paraphrasing the title. But she was saying, you know, the Democrats have spent time talking about how to reach working-class white people, which is great, and that they have left them behind. That's why they voted for Trump, which is great also, too. But she said also we need to also not only focus on how to re-reach them, because America is changing. It's become a more diverse country. So let's work on reaching those people that have been traditionally marginalized and left out of the system and have checked out of the system, as opposed to saying let's go back and reach the disaffected white voter, which we should do and make appealing to them. But if there's if one of the reasons they left the Democratic Party
right.
is because they're upset because America is becoming too diverse,
too black,
then to try and re-reach them means, what does that mean? That we have to tell them, well, America's not that diverse. We'll try to cut back on, you know, the number of people with colored skin that are going to be on here. So, I mean, we have to really do the job that the Republicans do and take a page out of their playbook in terms of their PR. In terms of educating the people, even educating them. And this Republican gentleman from Michigan seems to be doing just that, making a little bit of headway. But obviously his fellow party members are trying to tear him down.
Well, that's the problem. You know, I really find that, you know, incorrigible that the vast majority of the Republicans, including the head of the Senate there, you know, it's just sad. I mean, this is why we need to go after those seats. And as far as the diversity that's going on, that is the key issue with Trump in this past election. And this is why we have this sudden swift change in terms of the abortion laws in a half dozen states, because white folks, to a certain extent, are concerned about the fact that in 2050 or 2030, whenever the seismic shift in the racial population of this country is bound to change, you know, they want to make sure that at least a certain amount of the population is not killed off, that that they can maintain that balance. But, you know, it's more than that now. I mean, we are, the world is like in shambles because of this loose goose that we have as president, you know. I mean, just the despicable things that he spoon-fed Kim Jong-il, that statement that he said about Biden and the Democrats. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I just think it just saddens me that we've come to this. And no, there's so many fronts that we need to address, you know, just to bring back a certain amount of civility to this whole process. And I just hope that, you know, the people who are really supposed to be out there voting and doing to level the field again are going to be proactive, you know, and not look at color. Because I just think sometimes the fact that Barack Obama couldn't seek another term is the reason why a lot of us sat out. And that's not good enough, you know. This ain't a Muhammad Ali, Jerry Cooney prize fight, you know. This is, you know, this is a real issue that we have to deal with here. And our ability to survive as people in this country.
Yeah. So how can we change the plantation owner in the White House?
Can I just offer a little point of clarification real quick before you answer that? Jerry Cooney fought Mike Tyson, not Muhammad Ali. Okay.
I'm sorry. I
just
apologize.
Just wanted to
offer
that.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
When you talk about the greatest of
all
time,
I had a senior moment, as they said.
The battle is on.
Yeah.
In answer to your question, Kay, I think one of the biggest impacts of today's event will be how the candidates, 23 candidates, now respond in their addressing the nation and how they will go after the current office holder, 45. Because if they're going to run on law and order, they're going to have to start with the impeachment process. If they're going to run on the health issue, they're going to have to deal with the abortion and the Affordable Care Act. If they're going to run on social needs, they're going to have to bring up the Second Amendment. They're going to have to talk about gun issues. They're going to have to double down on the truth about this nation and the people who are trying to pervert from the top on down. These candidates can't just sit back and roll on the fence any longer. Today is a brand new day for democracy.
You got that right. And also, too, I mean, part of that game plan that you're making, that you're expounding on, Byron, should be to make them accountable to their own words. You know, there's a brother that's running against against Lindsey Graham in South Carolina, Jamie Harrison, who pointed out that, you know, and there's footage of Lindsey Graham saying things about Donald Trump, he's the worst, and then they juxtapose, it was on Rachel last night, and showed footage of him changing his tune. You know, Donald Trump is the best, is the greatest. Also, too, of Mitch McConnell, when Barack Obama was trying to appoint Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court, Mitch McConnell made a statement saying, you know, you can't do that in the last year of presidency. Then they just have footage of him just, 2 days ago when he was asked at an event, suppose one of the Supreme Court justices dies, what would you do? And he said, fill it. He would fill the seat. Totally changing, going around 180 about what he said when it was Barack Obama's turn to do the same exact thing. So these guys, they don't play by the rules. They tell everybody they're playing by the rules and they talk around it. But as soon as they get an opportunity to break them in their advantage, that's what they do. That's what they do. None of them wanted Trump, really, until he started winning and getting a headwind, and then all of a sudden they're all on the bandwagon. So very few of them have the integrity that they claim to have or that they would present to the American public. I mean, if you look at, I mean, the guy William Barr, he auditioned for that role. I mean, didn't he? I mean, he wrote an op-ed piece or a book talking about Trump could do whatever he wanted to do. I'm paraphrasing now because I don't know the exact phrases. And one thing, and I know you will appreciate this as an actor, Byron, when Barr was making that comment about Mueller's report, when he had Rosenstein and the other guys standing behind him, if you look at the body language at the expression, in particular on Rod Rosenstein's face. He's like, oh, my God, just get me out of here. Let me just not have any emotion because this guy is so full of it. I mean, you know, you can read the body language if you really pay attention mm-hmm. to stuff like that, right? And how much, obviously, Rosenstein short. I mean, you could tell that he didn't agree with
it. He was like the deer with the headlights in his eyes, staring at it. Mm-hmm. It was about as, you're right, his body language was speaking very loudly. But you're right, I mean,
yeah.
I think where we are right now is certainly you can't just get on the airways and say you're going to run for office and not address these issues. These issues are paramount, and they're going to take policy conversations. They're going to have the conversation about law and order. There's no way you can walk around this any longer. And it's going to be interesting to see how Elizabeth Warren, who right now is putting forth the best policies I've heard of any
yep.
of the candidates.
She sure is. And Kamala Harris.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
So at the point at which if we got Joe Biden in the lead, Joe is going to have to come off the high Acropolis and come down to earth and with some serious policy initiatives, he has got to address what happened on his watch with as vice president. He was there. He had the intelligence information, and they tried to proceed to warn the country, and they're going to have to go after Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, every one of those, Rance Priebus. Joe Biden cannot stay silent on none of this.
Right, which I don't think he has been.
No, he hasn't been.
But I do.
He hasn't been getting the proper press out of him, I just think.
Well, I do think that he is trying to take the mainstream point of view that if Pelosi has taken, that it is not overwhelming enough. Because what they're waiting for, I mean, if we really talk about impeachment, is it really going to happen and is it really going to get, I mean, that's the discussion now. Is it really going to get this guy out of office? No. It's not going to remove him from office. But is it going to set him up once it goes to the Senate side and they vote not to impeach him? And the whole argument is that, you know, and Chris Matthews and someone else said it really well today, is that I beat it. You know, they tried me in the Senate. I was proven, you know, they couldn't prove that I committed these things. Mueller couldn't prove it. He'll twist the words. You know, Trump makes up his word, makes up his own reality. You know, lie about it. And so he'll try to make himself look like he's been attacked and it's a deep state type of thing. And so what we have to do is really make the case. And like you guys are all saying, that's where the Democrats fall short. And even the sister, I was talking about the Black Lives sister this morning, when they asked her which candidate, she said, this is not an endorsement, but Elizabeth Warren is really killing the game right now,
mm-hmm.
doing exactly what you said, Byron, making these, having a platform, having solutions, having a path, and addressing the systematic racism that's inherent in our system, in our society. So they really need to do that. You know, Joe Phil checks that box for a lot of the Americans that need that box to be checked, and we know why it is that they need that box to be checked. And if you get, I still believe that a Biden-Harris, Biden-Warren, it's looking more like Harris now, to me, just recently, if you watch it, but a Biden-Kamala-Harris ticket, it would be the one to really be the one that wins, you know? I mean, black women are really a demographic that's really powerful.
Yeah, that
really
would be a powerful ticket. Somehow you have to get Elizabeth Warren in there, though. She should play a major role.
Right.
You know, yeah.
That's an interesting question. I was just wondering if any of you actually see a woman ceding to another woman over this contest, the way things stand right now, you know? In other words, if it comes down, because there's been a lot of criticism about the plethora of people who are running, you know? You have Mayor Pete, you got the guy in Texas, you have Bill de Blasio here in New York. All these candidates are coming to the table with their own agenda for whatever reason.
But you were talking about women.
But if it comes down to, you know, if we watch what the polls are saying, you know, do you see a Harris or a Warren ceding to the other if it's for the good of the party? Or are we going to have another Bernie Sanders conflict where, you know, just we start beating up on each other and then a Republican gets back in?
Well, I haven't thought about that.
I personally think that, you know, it'll fall down in terms of the votes and how well they do in the primary, who comes out ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Right now, if you look at the percentages, it's Biden, Sanders, maybe Harris, Warren. They keep switching a little bit. They flip, and then maybe Mayor Pete or someone like that further down. I think they'll leave it up to who gets the most votes and who does the best in the primary. Secondly, I wanted to make a point about a lot of people are talking about, and this is a short memory that the other side banks on. They had just as many people running for president on their side when Trump was first running, right? Didn't they have, like, the Republicans against when Obama's term was up? They had, like, 23 Republicans running, too. So for them to say, oh, there's so many Democrats running, they had the same thing.
I remember, but for some reason that whittled down a great deal faster than what we have now. I mean, you know, it's just like
in DeBlasio's case.
I don't see where he's elected, you know. I don't see where he would have the groundswell of support on the flyover state. I think De Blasio's a New York story, and I think once his term is over, you know, he's gone like a New York minute, you know.
Yeah.
He needs to,
mm-hmm.
At least Cuomo came out the other day and said, I want to seek a fourth term. I want to be the Nelson Rockefeller of the Democratic
mm-hmm.
Party, you know.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, I just think
we need to focus. You know, half these people are trying to get their – I mean, it's a test run for what they want to do in the future, right? None of them – I mean, they're going to have, like, a two-tier debate system like they had with the Republicans, and it is still really early. You know, I think
mm-hmm.
after the first maybe primary or two, the Republican Party started – I mean, the number of candidates started thinning out. And I think after, you know, what the first primaries will start come up in the next couple of weeks. So I think we'll start to see, because a lot of those people are 2%, you know, we're talking Cory Booker, Klobuchar, Kirsten Gillibrand, you know, I mean, those are the other women that we forgot about.
Yeah, right.
that we don't even mention, with Warren, Harris,
mm-hmm.
you know, Kirsten Gillibrand, Amy Klobuchar, and maybe there might be even one other woman that's running. So, you know, as the herd gets thinned out and people not stop getting those votes, they're gonna, you know, because it's an expense. You got to raise the money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you don't meet those thresholds, then the money dries up.
Right.
we all been around long enough to know that some people, they run a first time to test the waters, see how well they do, if they're gonna come back again, try again or whatever. You know, look at Rick Santorum, how many times he tried before he got the message that nobody wanted him. So, you know,
yeah.
And that might be the case with De Blasio, you know. I mean, there's a lot of Democrats you've never even heard of. I mean, you know, Beto was the one that jumped out there a lot, and he fell back a little bit, and now he's kind of in the mix. But, you know, Kamala had that opening, 20,000 people came out to her announcement,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and that was Obama-esque. When
yeah.
you look at it.
Right.
You know?
I mean, there's no. Actually, she could be in the top tier of the ticket, in all honesty,
right.
if America is ready to vote for a female, you know, which I think, you know, it's high time now. You know, it's just one
yeah,
of those
we,
things.
We,
but
yeah, I don't know.
We,
I don't know if we're going to if America's gonna want to mess around with another black female. Another black person is being president. I really think that the backlash will be really great.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think? I put some things on. I came across a story the other day that I saw on YouTube. It's about a book, and it kind of the quote "What is past is prologue" came to mind by William Shakespeare. And it's about, it made me think of Flint, Michigan, and the willingness to seem like they want to kill off certain communities. It's about Native Americans who in the, I guess, 1800s that were murdered off for their land, because the land they had settled on when the settlers, white settlers, came in, kept pushing them off their land, And they settled on this one area that was infertile land, and it was not the best area to live. But lo and behold, there was a whole bunch of oil where it was. And so they owned this land. And what happened was that this community of white settlers began to intermarry with the Native Americans, with the women in this particular family, and they systematically murdered off all of the members of this family so they could get this power. The white settlers murdered off the Native Americans. They intermarried with one particular daughter of the tribe, a very wealthy tribe, because of the oil that was found on their land.
Where was that?
And
in
out west somewhere. I don't know exactly where. I put it on my Facebook. But it was an interesting thing, and it made me think about what's happening, what happened in Flint, Michigan, in various areas across the country. And I see those type of actions taking place all across the country in various different levels, you know, how they could kill off populations or neutralize populations. You see that? I mean, I'm all reminded of the voting, you know, how they're trying to enact all these voting laws. So I guess the question is, to what extent do you think that the opposition forces will go? I mean, we know that this guy did business with the Russia and encouraged them to encourage them to continue to infiltrate our system and to affect our election. But at what extent do you think
Eric,
they will go to?
First and foremost, historically, that the Indian situation was in Oklahoma, right outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's where that happened.
Right.
Secondly,
the Osage tribe.
I can't name the tribe at the moment, but I do know it was in Oklahoma. Secondly, if you look back and look forward, gentrification is neutralizing African American populations. Redlining is neutralizing African American populations. Did you know that in the state of North Carolina, at North Carolina A&T, which just happens to be the largest landmass-wise of any of the HBCUs, is split right down the middle, creating two voting districts. At North Carolina A&T is Republican gerrymandered state line separating right on the middle of campus two voting districts. Now, you want to call it what it is? Remember this. Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm.
They ceded the Indians,
American Indians,
blanket filled with smallpox. You have the Tuskegee experiment. You have what they call in Mississippi. You know what a Mississippi appendectomy is? For a woman, it's called sterilization. But in Mississippi, they call it the Mississippi appendectomy. You've got gentrification. Washington, D.C., when I grew up in Washington, D.C., some 67 years ago, almost 70 years ago, the city was 75% to 80% black. It's 40-some percent black today. How did that happen? Where did those black people go to? So what we are engaged in this country is a systemic form of racism, which ultimately ends up diluting major black populations. Why? Because they recognize the voting bloc itself has impact on every potential election. And they're doing it as we speak. Right last week, I mentioned to you guys last week, the Justice Department had the state of Florida's governor, Rick Scott, sign a non-disclosure form not to reveal the two counties in his state that were intentionally hacked by the Russians. And for what purpose would you, as a Justice Department, have a governor sign a non-disclosure form not to reveal to the world, to our country, how the Russians hacked it. Now, when the GOP last week...
How did they hack it?
They infiltrated the two counties and filled it with discontent of the black population. We know
right.
for a
and
fact.
And wait a minute, Byron.
Yes.
Byron, where
yes.
was that?
It's in Florida.
It's in Florida.
Some think it was Broward County.
Everybody doesn't know it.
Not
in
everybody
Broward
knows
County.
It, but I'm saying. In Broward County, where there's a huge black population. And remember,
uh-huh.
on election night, both with the Bush victory over Gore and with this victory that undeclared late into the evening, Florida's election results, which county had the one where the woman was called up, the black woman who was called up as a voting commissioner, was called out for so-called interfering with the vote count?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Broward County.
That was Broward County.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
I mean, it's not like we
are engaged in a serious civil war that's not on the battlefields of Gettysburg, but it is certainly
in
the backyard.
When have we not been engaged in it, Byron? When have we not been engaged in it? It's been going
exactly.
on forever.
That's true.
Exactly.
And also, too,
and part of
the
that
insidious
is,
nature.
Part of that is understanding why impeachment is such an important tool, because Andrew Johnson came within one vote of being impeached for doing the same thing this president is intentionally doing in trying to bring the South back to its glory days.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And also, too, if you look at, I mean, they did about the drawing of the districts. There's clips, you know, a lot of people putting these educational clips now. There's clips about how the districts were drawn in Wisconsin, the crazy, wacky way that some of the districts are drawn, and so they dilute that voting block power. And it, like you said, it's insidious that they do it. They get the right people in place. It only, you know, that's what they say about a conspiracy. It doesn't take everybody. It only takes a few people in key places, right? So, like you said, they get Rick Scott, who's now, I think he's senator now, Scott, right? Because they got the new governor there. They get a couple of these guys to be down with that, you know, sign this non-disclosure, because the Justice Department, who is now run by the president's attorney, his personal Roy Cohn, AG Barr, right? So that goes all the way down the line. That they try, you know, this is what we're trying to do. If someone gets a personal phone call, this is what you're going to do. And so Kamala Harris said it well the other night on the town hall with Lawrence O'Donnell, that, you know, when she was defending some of her issues in terms of the school truancy things, that, you know, she made a decision and would talk to people that we have to be in the decision making room. We got to be in a room where the decisions are made.
Right.
And the more we become a part of the infrastructure. I don't mean we as African Americans. I mean people that are really about freedom and equality for everybody, equal justice under the law, right? Equal treatment under the law, because we would have never needed to go to other schools if the school system that was in the hood or for black children was equal to the other school system. And that's the whole thing about it. We have to, like you said, call them out on the very laws that people claim to want to uphold, right? If you're going to be law and order, then this is law and order for you, right? So, I mean, we have to be very strict about that. And we also have to do our PR campaign in terms of educating the populace.
I have a question for the three of you. When are you going to run for office, Byron, Wayne, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
my answer, Kay, no crickets for me. I enjoy being able to use my platform and the blessings that I've been given to bring forward the information about candidates that are credible.
I know what you're referring to your performances.
You know, at 70 years old,
yeah.
Like, at 70 years old, and I mean, I considered it back in my 40s and 50s. I've even been asked to be a campaign manager.
And you're
but
only
I,
90
I
now.
That's right. I'm only 90 now. And so I consider the platform that I have right now is as important get the message out. It's about,
mm-hmm.
yes, and if I use
yeah,
that
performance,
reach
yes.
one, teach one, we can
mm-hmm.
we can overcome. I believe the numbers are in our favor. There are more of the positive type of people like us than there are the negative people. We just have to
Byron?
Get the message out and make sure it's understood and appreciated to get up
Byron,
off the couch when
are you going
and
to keep,
do something.
Byron,
yes.
when are you going to start letting us know about your performances?
Oh, I'm all the time. I will let you know. I'm not going to hide any
will?
Of that from you.
Will?
But right now,
did you just join us?
Yes, I did. I just
yeah.
joined you.
Yeah. No, Byron, you need to tell us about this
right.
more often.
Well, I promise to do so. You know, it's not a
okay.
secret. I'm trying to be as transparent as I possibly can. So, trust
no,
me.
I understand that
secret.
You are have performances that are absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you. But, you know,
yeah.
I like being on radio. I like doing this
mm-hmm.
with you guys. We're Face the Nation.
You think?
We are Meet the Press, okay? And we all have a voice. And yes, we have to keep spreading the message because ultimately I think we were calling the current political climate back on the day after the election. We already knew it was happening.
Right.
So did we
you know,
get
I,
where's the $25 million that they gave to Mueller when we've been saying this for the last 4 years?
That's right. You know, also too, a lot of this stuff, you know, a lot of people are forgetting. A lot of the situation that we're in now was really the seeds were planted during the Bush administration, right?
Yeah,
I can remember when he was running against Al Gore going to California and first starting to vote on electronic voting machines. And I always,
right.
you know, anybody knows anything about computers, you know that computers can be hacked. I mean, even the ones that aren't even, you know, they don't have to be connected to the Internet to be hacked. I mean, somebody could write a program and put it in the computer. So I saw and that certain companies that had the contracts to provide those new voting machines and those computerized voting machines, some of the individuals that were running these companies were highly involved with the Republican Party. So,
yeah.
you know, that stuff, a lot of these seeds, a lot of the stuff was laid down, you know, during that time, during those administrations. A lot of, I mean, look at how he won. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that tells you all you need to know right there. There's in the last, and this is, you guys heard me say this before, the last two Republican administrations, they have gotten in under somewhat suspect circumstances. Last time was hanging chads with how George Bush got in. This time with Donald Trump getting in, it's the whole kind of Russia thing. So some of that stuff, those seeds were planted a long time ago.
You know, I have a question for the three of you. What are you going to run for office?
Yeah, you just asked.
No. Hold on. And I'm serious.
I've answered.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Have you thought about
right.
Wayne Gilman? When are you running for office?
I was hoping that we would skip this subject because my past is too colorful
Answer.
To even consider.
Answer. I'll be talking about this.
You know. Well, I'm telling you,
okay.
I don't need to be probed any more than I have been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
my thing is that I like Byron, like the idea that we have this platform in which to, you know, shape minds and change the agenda. I think that's so important because there are a lot of interesting. When I look at cable TV, especially when I can afford it, I'm just amazed at the number of young black men and women who have come to the fore, you know, that are so outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so moved by that because I think this is some of what we have developed out of our own proactive days, you know, working in radio and TV and, you know,
my
even
last question is,
matter.
We're running out of time. Hey, you guys,
yeah,
we're running out of time.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. I want to ask Eric, when are you running for office?
Probably not for a long time.
You haven't asked me? Oh, yes, you are. But anyway, so we need to get together and really become a powerful show, a more powerful show to get more young people involved in politics, okay? And we should really make that one of our goals here on this show. you know, rather than just getting on and talking about a lot of things, but, you know, really be, you know, real powerhouses for change.
Mm-hmm.
You guys should agree to that?
Oh, I agree. I think that we should take the show on the road. Maybe we could do like what we used to do back in the day, have a remote at a fundraiser, you know, go to some of these political events and, you know, try
that's
to get people
for,
to come on the air with us and, you know, all that things that can be done today, you know, and galvanize support that way.
Okay.
Yeah, and just we got about another just under 10 minutes left. And to lighten it up a little bit, I want to ask, you just saw a recent movie, Ma. You just went out to see John Wick 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was very good, right?
Yeah.
You remember seeing that? And that I understand that that's a very good film. There are a number of good stuff coming out, movies that have come out. And one I'm interested in seeing is this kind of looks like it's a horror film with Octavia Spencer playing a character called Ma, who looks like she's trying to relive her high school years with a bunch of kids and starts wreaking havoc on them. So I don't know if you guys have any suggestions about upcoming entertainment before I ask you about the finals, but any thoughts about that? I know you probably do, Byron, for sure. There's some entertainment things, movies, plays that are good out there.
We can include that in more conversations, really.
Yeah. Have you seen any entertainment that you're interested in, Byron, or you'd want to talk about really quickly and then Wayne?
I do believe I'm glad to hear that Kay enjoyed John Wick. I wanted to see that as well.
Good.
How they were going to take the franchise. But there are several movies that are on the horizon that have not yet been released that are actually written by and produced by African-American producers. I don't have the list in front of me, but I have been noticing little snippets of, and I wish I had that information in front of me to share with
mm-hmm.
you, because there's some new stuff that's out there that's about to hit the screen, both on television as well as on the big screen. And there's some plays that are out there getting attention that are not going to play on Broadway, but they'll be in the smaller houses in our community theaters.
Let us know, Byron.
And I will definitely bring that to the attention, because it's important
mm-hmm.
cultural statements that are about to
of
be
course.
Made that are going to change the dynamics of our community's conversation about everything. So
mm-hmm.
stay tuned. I'll research and come back with information next week.
Mm-hmm.
Promise.
And black filmmakers I want to hear from also.
And
Eric, you can take care of that.
And Wayne, have you seen any?
Wayne will be a director.
I have not been as active as you guys, but I did see the other day, and a young lady invited me over to her home to watch The Green Book. And I have to say, it was very compelling. I was really this is the one with that won the Academy Award that Spike Lee had some criticism of, and I just thought the brother's performance, I can't think of his name right now, the one who played the pianist, the concert pianist, was very compelling. And you know, I know that this was
Green
a sour
Book?
Note for
yes.
Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I didn't get a chance to see Spike's movie, but I'm curious to see, you know, when I compare the two, that I'd like to, you know, give a proper analysis of both. But I really felt
mm-hmm.
that I was really impressed with The Green Book. You know.
I actually liked The Green Book a little bit better than Black Klansman. I haven't seen Black Klansman from the very beginning. But I've watched most of it, and we did go to see The Green Book,
mm-hmm.
Ma. You and I did,
really?
I guess Spike's criticism probably was that was a reverse of Driving Miss Daisy or something like that. I don't know.
I imagine
that could be the only issue, but it was based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Someone I recently met someone who knows the guy whose father that was, the guy who wrote that film. I met an actor. I took a class in New York, and I was in class with this young lady, and her father would come with her, who was an actor, about the same age as me, and he knows the guy whose father that's about. You know, was the Italian guy who played
the
driver.
Right.
Right. So it was really interesting, but I thought that was a good movie. Like I said, for me, Black Klansman was, you know, it was okay. Green Book was, I think, maybe a little bit better executed in terms of telling how they told the story. Mm-hmm. And Mahershala Ali, who's the actor
that's
that you're
true.
Talking about,
yeah.
that played mm-hmm. Dr. Shirley. First off, I had
right.
never heard of Dr. Don Shirley. Ma, you said that our cousin Ania, Peggy,
yeah.
was aware of him when she would go to the jazz clubs in,
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
New York back
mm-hmm.
in the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But just that there
yeah.
was this African-American man that lived in above Carnegie Hall
mm-hmm.
and was so very well known and respected for playing. And then when he, obviously this particular story is about when he wanted to do a tour down south
yeah.
and how that worked out. But that's another one of our historical characters that you never heard of, you know?
Yeah.
And we have so many stories about individuals in this life that would really be fantastic movies. I'm still waiting for the Fannie Lou Hamer story to come to Byron to be a movie, you know, because
right,
what a story that she...
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And there's so many more stories. I mean, we can just pick and choose any one of those icons, iconic heroes and sheroes from any period in our 400 years of being here. I mean, why not Crispus Attucks? You know, that story
yeah.
hasn't been told yet.
Exactly.
Okay?
And we got to give kudos. There's a lot of young people now, these young cats now are making films, and I was watching Aspire TV the other night, and they have their own set of movies that they produce, low-budget films and stuff, so... You know,
mm-hmm.
these young actors coming up now, they have a whole world of opportunities that we didn't have as much, obviously, now. Obviously, every generation we want to do better than
yeah.
the previous generation. You were going to say, Mo.
Yeah. You know, and also, you know, we start thinking about people who have had, black people who have met with racist police persons, okay, and lost their lives, like Eric Gardner. Like what's
those
his
would
name?
Be good movies, yeah. Those
yeah.
would definitely
Eric
be
Gardner.
Good movies.
And Wayne, you remember him.
Right.
You know, because mm-hmm. you did the story on him. And he was killed.
Right, Eric Gardner, right.
Yeah.
Just recently, that
yes.
recent
spin. No, it's not that recent, but you know.
But, yeah, Eric Gardner was the recent. I think you're thinking about maybe Trayvon Martin.
No, I'm thinking
yeah.
about Eric Gardner. Eric
okay.
Gardner in
okay.
New York.
Let's talk about really quickly, what do you guys think about the NBA Finals? You think... You think that you know that Toronto has an opportunity?
I would like to think because I'd like to see a change, but you know it seems like Kevin Durant is going to be out of it. I mean, he's a wrecking ball all by himself. We don't know. You know, I mean, I'm on the fence. I mean, Toronto is. I'm surprised. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that. The Warriors could probably pull it off again, but, you know, toe-to-toe, I know there's no Stephen Curry on the Raptors team, you know, but you got some good ball players who certainly don't seek the – well, not to say that Curry seeks the limelight,
okay.
but, you know, he's out there.
All right.
He's an established
All right.
stat.
90 seconds. You go, Byron, real quick. Byron, you said we got 90 seconds. What do you think? Who are you predicting?
I predict Steph Curry is the MVP, and they win it in 5 games.
Oh boy,
you're 5! You're giving a game. I predict this, that they're going to sweep them. I predict that the Warriors are going to sweep the Raptors. That Kawhi is not going. They only got Kawhi Leonard, and the other guys are not going to match
That's
up
it.
Well with the rest of the team. But we got a minute. I want to say thank you to our brother Byron Saunders, brother Byron. You want to tell people's.
Yeah, peace and love always. Come on now. That's what it's about, okay?
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you again next week there, Brother Byron Saunders.
Yes,
all right.
Yes,
take
sir.
Care. Brother Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. You want to
keep
tell
hope alive, man.
Think?
That's all I got
That's
to
right.
say. Keep hope alive.
And
yes.
join
yes,
us
sir.
Next
yes,
week.
Yes, sir. All right, Wayne, we'll talk to you again next week, my brother. Take care. And you wanted to say, Mom, go ahead.
Join us next week for Kay Thompson Live, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. With interesting and fascinating conversations and fascinating people.
All right. That's my mom, Kay Thompson. It's the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm the one that's known as the Sun. You can reach us every week, 8 to 9 p.m., and the show is also archived. We'll see you again next week. Thanks, everybody.
Are you in touch with Chappie?